What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Intro music provided royalty-free by Audionautics. That's www.audionautics.com. My go-to for all my podcasting royalty-free music needs.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 19th. My God, March is almost done. 2026, you are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com and everywhere that you listen to your podcasts. Go check us out. I am your host, one of your hosts, the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures. He's the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob, sir. How you doing?
All right. And now you can add, I'm once again not breaking the law when I drive.
Oh.
Good job,
buddy. here's the story. A couple weeks ago, my glasses broke. You know, I just rolled over them in the bed and it broke.
Oh, no.
But I can, you know, so I went, you know, I went and ordered some more and all of that. But of course, they don't show up overnight. So I had to wait for them to come in. But I still have to go to work. And so I can see the road okay.
Oh my God.
And I know where I'm going.
Jesus.
The car knows the way.
I know where I'm going. I can see the road. I can see the cars on the road. I just, you know, had a little trouble reading the road signs, but I already knew which exits to take and all of that. So, you know, I could make them out well enough to know that that was the exit. So for about a little over a week, my driver's license says that I'm supposed to, you know, have correctable vision. I'm supposed to be, when I drive, I'm supposed to have my glasses on. But for a little over a week, that was not a thing.
Jay, good friend of the podcast. Jay, if you're listening, please, as the man of God, please say some words for our friend Rob. Please put some words in with the man upstairs. You're closer to him than I am.
Let's see. Now there is.
That's this man with wisdom, Lord.
Yes. Now, you know, they arrived yesterday, and I picked them up.
Good job.
You can see, and now I can you know, I can see everything great now again.
Poor Rob. He's traveling on. Boom. What was that? It might have been a squirrel or something. Oh my God.
Well, because, I mean, I only need them to read things that are, like, far away.
Yeah. Well, you're nearsighted, I assume.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, yeah. So was I.
And another thing that happened is I got into the, like, you know, when the COVID stuff hit and we were all, you know, wearing masks in the store and everything, my glasses were always fogging up.
Yeah.
So I got in the habit of just taking them off.
Have you ever tried contact lenses?
Oh, I can't. I got like astigmatism. I can't.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, and that can get, depending on how much astigmatism, they can get costly to
do contacts. I got in the habit of just taking them off anyway, and I'd gotten used to just, you know, doing my normal stuff without them on.
Yeah.
But
well, when the day comes and you need cataract surgery, pal, there are lens implant options available that will take care of that for you. Look at me upselling lens implants here for cataract surgeons. That's not what we do here. We got to finish introducing everybody. We are not alone. We are never alone on this show. Well, rarely. Occasionally, one of us takes a day off. That is not the case tonight. Bucky's tag team partner. And it just fell out of my head. Oh, my God. My whole intro for Jason. I'm so sorry.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jason. How is everybody? I don't need an intro this week, apparently. It's fine. It's fine. How is everybody?
Jason, I promise you, I'll throw myself out of the barbershop window this week.
That's it, man.
I deserve it after that. That was horrible. Horrible podcast hosting.
Oh, God.
Cloud nine in the purple haze.
Yes, yeah. If he hails from the purple haze and cloud nine. Jason, how is the air up there?
The air is wonderful, as always.
How's Bucky? How's your tag team partner?
He's great, man. We had a little power outage a couple days ago, so he didn't enjoy that too much. I think he just gets freaked out because he doesn't hear the electricity and whatnot. He's like, something's wrong.
That was one of those
obviously, it's dark.
You just dropped on us out of nowhere. It's like, oh, yeah, 17 hours without power. I'm like, dude, you're just now telling your friends?
Like, I mean, what are you guys going to do about it?
Well, nothing, but it'd be nice to know that you're, well, not nice to know, but, you know, if you're going through something, at least we can keep you company or something. Like, hey, pal, you okay up there? Nope, Jason.
Power outage. Come on.
Yeah, but it's the middle of winter for you guys. You were just,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. So the power outages are normal. DJ, I don't know how it is down in Florida. I know you guys obviously probably only get them in hurricane season, but yeah, power outages up here, especially with the snow and we live in the sticks. It's old hat for us.
Yeah, that's the other end of the spectrum. When we get a hurricane here and we lose power, it's miserable, miserable, god-awful heat but back in 2004, when Hurricane Francis and Jean hit, we took a direct hit where I live in Palm Bay. We took two direct hits back-to-back within 2 weeks of each other. The first time when Francis hit, and this is in the middle of, so like the end of August, early September, because Francis hit first, we lost power on that one for 11 days. Now, mind you, it's Florida summer. It's swamp ass. It's 99-degree weather and bugs and heat and humidity. And then a hurricane just came through. So you're 11 days without power. We get power back finally. Yay, we get back to normal, get the AC back on, get your refrigerator plugged back in. Everything's good. You buy more food. 2 days later, we're doing this shit again. And we lost power for 9 straight days after that. It was miserable. Awful. This is why I'm trying to get the hell out of Florida eventually. So, we didn't come here to talk to you guys about any of that. This is a wrestling podcast, and we are going to talk some wrestling. But first, I want to talk about this. The new Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer dropped, 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
And before we get into this, data just shared by Variety, Spider-Man Brand New Day has become the biggest movie trailer launch in history with 718.6 million views in 24 hours. I can't even wrap my head around. Dude, in 24 hours, 750 million views. That is incredible. Let's start with Jason since I screwed up his intro. Jason, what'd you think of the trailer?
I'm excited. It's new territory for the character. Obviously, like we've been setting this up with, you know, nobody knows who Peter Parker is anymore. I'm just excited to see what they do with it. And how it, you know, do they put the toothpaste back in the tube? Do they start to? Do they just take him off in this brand new direction? I'm excited.
Okay. Rob, how about you?
Yeah. I was wondering, at the end of the last one, you know, all the things Jason said, you know, I was, you know, well, curious as to how they're going to move the story forward with him. And now there's apparently he's evolving. And so how's that going to play into everything? And also, you know, look, I popped when I saw our buddy, our man Frank Castle show up.
Yep.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, John Bernthal. I mean, he's so good in that role. And, I mean, yeah, I just, because, man, yeah, like every, yeah, he's just been so great at that. And, you know, we're going to get to see him on, even if it's just, I don't, it might just be a short cameo, who knows. But, you know, just getting to see him do that on a big screen. If I have however much screen time he has, I think it's going to be fun. So that really, yeah.
He's the master at playing the good dude with a couple screws loose.
Yeah. And, oh, man, because did y'all watch the Daredevil Born Again?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the second season, but I watched the first. I think the second season just started or is getting ready to start, but I did watch the first one. And it was so good.
Yeah, the way he just matter-of-factly plays that character, because, like, there's at one point, you know, he's, you know, Daredevil asking for help, and he's like, basically he says, you know I'm going to kill those guys, right?
Yep.
I mean, those weren't exact words, but that's basically what, you know, he let you know, like, okay, well, you can bring me in, you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I only handle things one way, and they spend an entire episode with Daredevil trying to fight his way out of a situation, Frank Castle trying to fight his way out the way he does, and Daredevil not only trying to fight out, but trying to keep Frank from fighting out the way he does. It was brilliant. Yeah, the whole episode was brilliant.
And in that second season of the Netflix Daredevil, when he's on trial.
Yes.
And then when he finally just says, fuck it, like, yeah, I did that shit. Like, yeah, I did it, and I don't regret it.
I liked it.
Yeah, like, I'm Frank Castle. I'm a fucking motherfucker.
I did it because I liked it. It's like, oh, okay.
The trailer definitely has me hyped. Again, it brings everybody back. But as we left off with the last movie, No Way Home, everybody has forgotten who Peter Parker is, and obviously nobody knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. There's one interesting thing about the mutation, and I didn't even know this was a character, because there's going to be an episode of 30 Mindless Minutes coming up in the near future. Rob was on with me, and we talked comic books, and Spider-Man was one of my first comic books. I never knew that Man-Spider was a thing. And I actually had to Wikipedia this. Man-Spider is actually the final evolution of the genetic mutations caused by the spider bite to Peter Parker. And he physically evolves, his powers evolve, and I think there's a lot of people in the early speculations seem to think that's where they're going with this powers evolving and mutating type of thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
You never watched Spider-Man the Animated Series? Yeah, you were too old.
Shut up.
Yes, you were. I mean, I was a kid, dude. It was Man-Spider was a thing in that as well.
I think it was. You know, that's actually been on, because I have Disney Plus, and it's on Disney Plus. It has been on my list of things to watch, but I keep getting sucked back into the X-Men 97 world and trying to catch, because I never actually finished that series before X-Men 97 came out. I think I watched the first two episodes of the X-Men animated series, or not first two episodes, first season or two, and then just fell off of it. So I've been slowly getting myself back into that. But yeah, I do recall some of that just in like watching peripherally. So I'll probably check that out at some point. I love how Jason, if you're new to the show, Jason likes to once in a while remind me that I'm older.
Well, and also to plug you and Rob's, the preview, you and Rob's little 30 Mindless Minutes. I have to brag, speaking of comic books, I own the entire run of 52, all 52 issues.
Excellent. The individual issues?
Yes, sir.
I have it in graphic novel
single form. Week.
It was such a good series. I talk about this with Rob, and this is actually going to be a little retroactively, so I don't want to spill the beans just yet. But Rob and I do talk about that in our episode. It'll be out in a few weeks. The Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer, it's out there. If you haven't already checked it out, and with 700 and almost 20 million views, I'm sure anybody listening to this podcast has already seen it more than once. I have. Looks incredible. It's going to drag me back to the movies. There have been very few movies come out in the last 12 to 24 months that I'm like, okay, got to go to the theater and see that. This movie is going to drag me back out to the theater. I know it. I know it is. I have that good of a feeling about it.
What, Dune 3?
That one will drag me out of the theater. I'll probably go see, let's see, I think, well, that's going to be a conflict, right? Well, not necessarily a conflict because I can always see both. But if they're opening the same week or the same weekend, we have Dune 3 and Avengers Doomsday opening.
Someone's going to blink.
Yeah, someone's going to blink. Somebody will move the dates.
Somebody's going to blink. And it'll be Avengers because, you know, that's normal for comic book movies. Like, hey, surprise, a week early, you know, right. Like 6 weeks out, they'll be like, hey, surprise, we're moving it up. That happened a lot in the 2000s.
The Dune movies have proven to be a bankable force. If this had been Dune 1, Dune would have had to move for the Marvel movie. But now that we're on the third Dune movie and these have proven to, one, be good and, two, be bankable, we may see Marvel blink and move on this one, which would be interesting, you know, for them to bow out and let Dune have the weekend.
They will acknowledge Lisa Nagaib.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to both movies. So but it'll be interesting if they move Doomsday forward or bump it back because we're both talking about December. So I don't think they push it back to 27.
No, they ride the hype. They just, you know, marketed it as the hype train and move it up.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. Like I said, looking forward to it. There's four movies right now that are going to drag me back to the theater. One of them is Spider-Man Brand New Day. The other one is, you know, Doomsday, Dune 3, and then Disclosure Day, which is coming out, I think, here in the next couple of months, which looks absolutely incredible if you're into that UAP, UFO type of thing, which I am. I'm looking forward to that movie as well. I don't know if either one of you have seen the trailer for that one.
I have not.
Check it out, Jason. If you're even remotely interested in, like, UFOs, alien invasions.
What is that, a found footage type deal?
No, it's – did you see Arrival with Jeremy Renner and
– Yes.
Okay. It's similar to that, but basically what it's centering around is we've been visited, and it's almost like a conspiracy theory type of thing with a tie-in with the alien basically what's going to happen if the government, who knows something, discloses to the American people. Is what I'm getting from it. It's pretty interesting. Watch the trailer. It looks pretty intense. I'm looking forward to it. And it ties into our show with the lawyer, Dave Ungar, Unidentified History. Dave has been chronicling all this stuff. I know Dave's super excited for it. Those four movies alone will probably get me to the theater this year.
And I'm also, for me also, the Supergirl film is coming out. It's coming out this summer.
I mean, y'all know I'll be there day one.
Yeah, you two will have to let me know how that one was. That'll be a wait for HBO Max like I did with Superman. So.
Don't do it. I'm sorry. DJ doesn't like joy and happiness. And well, I don't think that's what Supergirl's vibe is going to be. But still, treat yourself, DJ.
Hated it. Anyway, why don't we take a quick commercial break? And when we come back, I want to talk some Obafemi because we had a huge, huge moment for him on Monday night. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. That's right. We have a t-shirt there. Go check them out. The starving artists on these shows will thank you if you pick one up. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back. Okay. I'm out of breath. So, yeah, I just want to get right back in. We can talk Monday Night Raw, and then we can just kind of – we'll just – because I know you guys have probably seen just enough of the nuggets from the Stephanie podcast to talk about a little bit of it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And we are back again. Thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are going to talk some Obafemi, pals. They launched this guy into the stratosphere on Monday night. had an incredible segment to open the show. Seth Rollins came out with his Foot Clan, was in the ring, popped Rob.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were, man.
The Foot Clan, they really are. So Seth Rollins and the Foot Clan are in the ring, and a haggard, God, what a method actor Paul Heyman is. Like, Paul Heyman gives himself to this every time he goes through it on this show. Last time we saw Paul Heyman, he got stomped out of his brain, was carried away in an ambulance by LA Knight. He comes back, he's got a bloodshot eye, he's got a bruised face, he's all effed up, and he's just had it up to here with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is in the ring celebrating. Paul goes into this thing, you know, F around and find out, F-A-F-O, F-A-F-5, Brock Lesnar comes out, and they'd already teased that Brock Lesnar was going to come out and start looking for an opponent for WrestleMania, because that's WrestleMania, it's Brock Lesnar, it's happening. Brock starts to come to the ring, the Foot Clan comes out, Brock quickly and violently disposes of those gentlemen. Here's your paycheck, post it on Twitter, you got beat up by Brock Lesnar. There's your bragging rights for the week. We love it. We enjoyed it. He gets in the ring, and as he's getting ready to take down Seth Rollins, the Ruler's music hits. And this is one of those things. We've all kind of been hoping that maybe it was going to be Obafemi. Some of us thought it was probably going to be Obafemi. I was one of those people that thought it was going to end up being Obafemi. And it still popped me when the music hit. Like, it was one of those moments where suddenly I'm not a guy with a podcast. I'm not a guy who was in the business and kind of knows what this stuff looks like behind the scenes. I was just a 13-year-old fan again, watching this TV show that I have grown up and loved watching for over 40 years. And I audibly yelled out loud when Obafemi's music hit. Rob, were you watching in real time, or did you nod off in another power nap?
Yes. So I was, so Brock took all those guys out, and then, he was standing in the ring with Seth, and I knew, it was like, okay, well, they're not going to do this, right? Something's going to happen here, right? And then, when the music hit, that for me, that was a, I didn't actually jump up and run around this time, but this was a moment where, this was a jump up and run around the house worthy moment here.
Yes.
Because like you said, we've been thinking about it. We were kind of hoping for it, and then it happened. And it was one of those things, like when, way back when in the Royal Rumble, a bunch of guys in the ring, and then everybody gets thrown out except for two people, and those two people are Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. And then they meet up in the middle of the ring, and everybody's like, oh shit, they're really doing this? And it was that kind of thing, for me. It was going right back to that kind of thing because you weren't sure if they were really going to do that, because Ober just got to the main roster. So you weren't really sure, that they were actually going to do it. And then it happened. And of course, with Brock, the big question is with Brock is, well, okay, well, does he like the person that they're having to work with? Because it's night and day, right? We know, we've seen it before. We've seen what happens when you give him Dean Ambrose or you give him Braun Strowman to work with.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens. And we've also seen like what he did for Drew McIntyre, right? And so Oba comes out there and it's very clear and very obvious that Brock loves the guy.
Yeah.
So once that happened, that was the reassurance we needed that, okay, this is going to be good. And it was. And of course, I mean, if you're in the IWC like we are, you probably heard that Brock told him to put his foot on him when FD laid him out. And so,
yeah, Brock's not shy about or shy with the microphones, unfortunately, but it has led to some awesome moments, like when Drew took him out, on Raw one time. You know, Drew's just standing over him, and Brock says, "Hold up the belt, belt. Yep. Pick up the belt." And Drew grabs the World Heavyweight Championship off of Brock Lesnar and holds it up high, and obviously makes a moment. Same thing with this, like Oba. I mean, by the way, Brock gave him everything on that. He didn't obviously like jump and like make it super obvious, but we've all seen what happens if Brock Lesnar wants a sandbag with you. And he said, nope, we are going to make this look fucking awesome. And he gave that just enough lift to help, you know, help things get started. But boy, howdy, the rest of that was Obafemi.
Yeah.
And that dude is the real friggin' deal. That was just, I mean, it's going to be a kaiju fight, and that's my favorite wrestling. You know, I'm just like Big E. Meaty men slapping meat. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it's two of the better, you know, one of the best to ever do it in terms of a meaty man slapping other men. And then we've got Obafemi, who is a rising meaty man himself. I'm excited.
What was beautiful about the whole segment was everybody involved knew it was money. You could tell when Brock was on the outside of the ring, he was like a proud father. Obafemi literally had a tear coming from his eye. Like they happened to catch that, a tear coming from his eye. Seth Rollins had the biggest grin on his face. Like they all three knew because they stuck the landing. And sometimes with these moments, with something like this, from a technical standpoint, what they pulled off as flawlessly as they did is rather difficult. They made it look effortless. They really did. And like Jason pointed out, Brock gave him a little bit of boost. Obafemi muscled him up, caught him, held him there without stumbling, because Brock's not a small dude. You know, that's a lot of beef to be picking up, because he's damn near as big as Obafemi is. So Oba gets him up there, holds him, then hoists him up for like the last ride type powerbomb, and then turns it into the sit out. It was very easy to have screwed that up. Oba could have lost his footing. Brock could have been sweaty and slipped. There's so many little things that could have screwed that moment up for everybody, and they pulled it off genuinely flawlessly, and they all knew it. Like, the looks on everybody's faces were like, man, that was fucking money, and we stuck the landing on it. That's it. And it was so good. And then, again, the nuance of Brock knowing what the moment is, put your foot on me and point at the sign. You know, stand up, like you just slayed the beast. You know, put your foot on me. And that's such good work by Brock. Like, such good awareness and believing in this kid and wanting this moment to be everything that it could. And nobody does this better than WWE. There are companies out there putting on great wrestling matches with great wrestlers. I'm not trying to down anybody else, but those types of things, production-wise, emotion-wise, nobody does better than WWE. And this may end up, time will tell, 10, 15, 20 years from now, when we find out where Obafemi's career winds up, this may go down as a top five all-time WWE moment for me, and it may not be number five. Because it's up there, like Rob said, Bob made a good point. It's up there right now with Hogan Warrior, the first face-off in the Royal Rumble. It's that good. It's up there with Sean putting Marty through the barbershop window. Like, it's that impactful, because that one moment just made an entire career. Because, like I said, if that had gone sideways, if Oba had dropped him, if Oba had tripped, bad footing, something, we're having a much different conversation about that moment, and they absolutely nailed it. And I love it for everybody involved.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
So, I want to talk a bit more about Obafemi because, oh, you had another thought, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, because one thing, because there are people who were getting kind of restless with them, with the way they were using Obo on TV, because, you know, some people were like, why do they have him still coming out here and just squashing to you, right? And there's a reason that they did that, okay? Because most of the audience, A, they do not watch NXT. And most of the audience just watches the show, as we often say here. So you needed to get those people familiar with Obafemi, and you needed to show people how awesome he is and how impressive he is. Because, as you all know, there have been a lot of big dudes in pro wrestling. Okay, being a big dude does not automatically mean that you're any good. Right? You have to show people how talented this guy is. And so that's why you had him run through all of those people for 2 or 3 months. Because you have to show people it. Because if Monday night had been the first time he had shown up on TV, it would not have had the same effect. Because at least half the people watching would have been like, well, who's that guy? Okay.
For 3 months, he's been an unstoppable force. Unstoppable force, meet immovable object.
Yep. Yes. So you've seen him run through, you've seen him beat up all these people, and then he had the short match with Rusev. It was a good sprint, and he laid it all out in 3 or 4 minutes. So now that you've seen what he can do, now when he walks down there to face Brock, it matters. Because. Yeah. You know, because that's the guy who came out, right? If, you know, if some 7-foot guy who'd never been on TV just kind of walked out there.
He's the sacrificial lamb, and that thing goes entirely differently. If that's Obafemi's first appearance on TV, the general audience goes, oh, wow, okay, this guy's getting smoked at WrestleMania.
Right, exactly. It's another big guy to feed to Brock. Okay.
Yep. That's exactly. God, good call, guys. Good call.
And yeah, so it matters. It matters that they took the time to build him up first before they sent him out there to do that. And, you know, cause look, back in the day, we used to have the Saturday morning squash matches, right? And those matches served a purpose. It was to get to familiarize you with the wrestlers so that when, you know, two of the guys who were not jobbers faced each other, it already had some meaning from the very beginning. And you know, it doesn't happen very often. But like you have to set it up right. You do. Because just another example of that. This was back in 2018. When Asuka came up to the main roster, and what they do, they had her continue undefeated, and they had her just beat everybody for a few months. Why? And she won the Royal Rumble. But winning a Royal Rumble by itself doesn't necessarily mean people are going to buy into you, or you know, if you haven't given them something to be interested in. So they did all of that, and then why? Because then in March, after the 14-time women's champion defending her title on Fastlane, what happens? She's standing around, and the music hits, and then Asuka comes out there, and then that was another one of those moments, because Asuka had been on Raw, and she had been, so people assumed that she was just going to challenge whoever was a Raw women's champion. But then she shows up, and it was a big deal. But you have to build these things up. You can't just, yes, we know Oba is, we know Oba is great, but most of the people watching have not seen him in NXT. They have no idea who he is. So you have to do that. You have to set the table so that they get it. And they did that. And look, as much as we've been critical, we've been critical of some of the booking, some of the creative stuff over the past year. You, when they get it right, you got to give credit for it.
And that's something I want to take a little sidebar here for a minute, because that's something I want to talk about, is how they've introduced the next wave of at least the men's talent. You know, we can talk about the women's talent on another night, but the men's talent, when I look at how they've introduced Carmelo Hayes, Bron Breakker, Trick Williams, and Obafemi, because these are my four pillars right now. These are my four pillars of the WWE for the next 10 to 15, okay? Carmelo, we were asking a lot of questions. We were asking a lot of questions about the booking of Carmelo Hayes. I'm starting to think what they did, because each one of these guys, they introduced a little bit differently. Carmelo, they got down in the mid-card, and they had him just wrestling, and he lost a lot of matches. But he wrestled big stars. He wrestled Randy, and he wrestled Cody, and he wrestled, just different guys. Now he's become such a mainstay on TV that I'm looking at Carmelo Hayes. Like, it's very obvious who booking has picked out to be their next guy. You know, it's either going to be Trick Williams or it's going to be Obafemi. Bron Breakker may hover in and out of there somewhere, depending on where he lands. Somebody, and I've been thinking about this all day, because we had a really brief but good discussion on Triple H earlier today in our chat thread, trying to figure out Triple H's booking style. And one thing that I mentioned about Triple H was that he was very good at aura farming. But another thing that he was really good at was playing the foil to the guy. And that's an important role. Triple H was never the guy. He was the guy that would go out and make the guys look good and occasionally win the big one just to lose it again real quick. He would hover, he would float back and forth. And that's a really good role for somebody to be in. And that's exactly the role that I see for a guy like Carmelo Hayes and a guy like Gunther. Those are guys who are going to go in there and make the top, top, top echelon guys look really good and occasionally be a foil for them. Those are wonderful positions to have. And I think that looking at it retrospectively, I think that's why Carmelo went down the journey he did. This is the role we see for you. We want to get you there and slowly elevate you. One, because the other guys aren't ready yet. Okay? They're not ready for you. Trick Williams, they introduced way differently as well. He came out, he was cutting promos, he's doing the more sports entertainment stuff. They had him in Elimination Chamber. Like, he's already in main event matches with main event talent. So his introduction was literally, he skipped the mid-card all yet. And then you've got Bron Breakker, who again, in similar fashion to Trick, was like mid-card because he had the Intercontinental Championship run, but they're obviously grooming him for that next level. And now you've got Oba. And Oba has jettisoned himself right into the biggest fish in the pond with Brock Lesnar. It's been very fascinating to see the rollout of these guys and how they're all different. And it's been, I'm easing up on my criticisms of the booking as I pick it apart a little bit more in with a little bit more minutiae. Like, there are still questions, you know, I'm still looking at certain things like, okay, what are we doing here? But the rollout of these four guys in particular has been fascinating, and it's been, it's actually been really, really good.
And to add on to that, I'm going to reiterate something I said when I was on with Ernest a couple of nights ago, because people are always talking about, well, when they're going to get some younger main eventers. And you know what? You can't manufacture main eventers. You can't engineer main eventers. Okay. Yes, some people are not that when they get there, and they, every now and then somebody does work their way up to being that. But most of your main event people, they show you something immediately. Okay. And the thing about it is, if you ask, when are they going to have some more main eventers? They get there when they get there.
Yeah.
They show up when they show up.
Oba and Trick are mid late 20s. We still have 10 to 15 more years of these guys. There is plenty of time for them to be main eventers.
And also, I mean, you know what? So right now we got Trick, we got Oba, we got Javon, we got Carmelo, we got Bron Breakker. That's five guys. Okay, so guess what? There may not be any more for like 7 or 8 years.
No, that's going to be, those are going to be your pillars for the next 10 to 15, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so there may not be anybody else coming from NXT. There may not be any other men coming up from NXT for another 7 or 8 years who are what those guys are.
Right.
Because you can't, again, you can't manufacture it. It happens when it happens. And, you know, and that's just how it is, folks. So, you know, you've been waiting, people have been, when are you going to have some more money? When are you going to make some money? Well, now, okay, well, they're here now. Okay, it took a while because it just does. Okay.
Watch the damn show.
Yeah.
Just watch the damn show.
Yeah.
We should have t-shirts made. I swear to God, I'm going to have one made up that just says, watch the damn show. God.
Anyhow.
So, one thing I want to talk about is, again, the media rollout of not only Trick Williams, but Obafemi as well. The two, specifically the two of them, because they are the guys I've seen more Trick Williams interviews in the last few weeks. They are very high on this guy and how he approached. I love how these guys are approaching the business. Trick is looking at it from a very, very showman entertainment standpoint. Obviously, the ring work is improved by leaps and bounds, and he's figured that out as well. But he is very much looking at this like an entertainer. And I love that for him. And I love that that's the way he's looking at this. I spent my time on the treadmill today listened to the first half of Stephanie McMahon's, I think it's What's Your Story?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the name of the podcast. She had Obafemi on there. What a fascinating human. Like, really just fascinating human, listening to him talk, not only the way he looks at life, how he approached his shot putting career, how he approached school, different things, his thinking methodology is so interesting. And now he's parlayed that into the wrestling industry. He speaks like somebody who's been doing this 10 or 15 years. And I've been jokingly saying about this guy for the better part of 2 years that he eats buckets of protein and watches tape. And I said it jokingly, just watching his growth. That's absolutely fact. Like, he is a sponge for every little nugget of information that anybody has handed down to him. And he made a comment on the show. He was talking about Shawn Michaels and his working relationship with Shawn. And one of the things that he talked about was like, okay, we don't always agree. Shawn has a vision for what he wants my character and his show to do. And he'll tell me something, like he'll come up with some big convoluted finish. And he's like, and it doesn't make any sense to me. But he's like, my job is to make it work. He's like, my job is to go out there and give the boss what he wants. I'm like, this is not a 2 to 3 year rookie talking. This is somebody who's been doing this for 10, 15 years going, okay, what do you need, boss? You know, what do I need to do to make the show better? You know, what can I do to make my character better? And what do you need from me? And I'm so fascinated that somebody with so little experience and to be as young as he is that worldly. Like, I truly think this guy is going to be perfectly okay.
I mean, honestly, dude, the trajectory he's on, if he doesn't main event WrestleMania in the next 5 years, something went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is just delivered time and time again, and he's just he has charisma in spades, and I mean my definition. It is the force of personality. He, even without the walk, even without the chance, he's just a force on the television screen. That dude's going to be money.
And that is very, very much on display in this podcast with Stephanie McMahon. If you haven't listened to it, please, I implore you, pause what you're doing in life right now. Go listen to it. Very fascinating. Again, not just his outlook on pro wrestling, but his outlook on life. The way he just looks at things.
Hey, listen to it after you finish this podcast. Yeah,
finish this podcast. But when you're done here, immediately go look up Stephanie's podcast and listen to Obafemi, because I'm only about halfway through it. I'm looking forward to finishing the rest of it tomorrow. Absolutely fascinating. I'm trying to think of some of the other pearls that he threw out there. And again, these are not 2-3 year rookie pearls. Like how he's like, fundamentally, I put myself in the mindset to where, like, he's talking about being the difference of being in a ring in front of 400 people versus 600 people versus 16,000 people at a stand and deliver. He's like, I see no difference. He's like, I treat each environment like it's the same. Because she was asking him, you know, how do you go from this to that? And he's like, I just treat it all the same. And he equates it to his shot put career, because each shot put ring was different. You'd go to another town and the ring would be, he said, something about it would be a little different. He's like, the dimensions are all the same because it's regulation dimensions. He's like, but you go and this one's a little more slippery. This one's this one's that. And he's finally, his coach is just like, just do it like you're practicing. Do it like you're at practice. He's like, and that's what I did every time. He's like, I wasn't at SEC conference finals. I was at practice. And he's like, and he approaches his wrestling very similarly. And that's so smart. Like, he's just so cool. Like, I'm sure the guy gets rattled. Like, everybody gets rattled. I don't think anybody is completely just stone unrattleable, but his approach to everything is so cool. Like, okay, this is what we're doing. How do we do it? And it just fascinating, fascinating listen. Truly is.
Yeah, man. That guy's, like I said, he's money. They're just going to print money with this guy.
Yeah, it's going to be I made a bold prediction, and it probably won't come true, but this is my flag I'm planting. WrestleMania 45, night 2, main event will be Trick Williams versus Obafemi, and they will unify the Undisputed Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. And then the two of them will be 1A, 1B, depending on the week. Like, I've said this to my friends, and I've said this on Twitter. We have been looking for the next quote unquote Rock Austin. These two have the potential to be this generation's Rock Austin if they're booked properly and if they can both continue to grow and go on the path that they're on. Like, that is my prediction for those two guys. There's money somewhere, and Triple H would do his best to keep them as far away from each other for as long as humanly possible.
So, yeah, nothing else to say there, man. Like, they're both, their arrows are just like pointing straight up.
All right. Have we got anything else? Like, anything else big that's come up this week? Yeah, we did. We had a big night on SmackDown. Friday night SmackDown. Randy Orton did the unthinkable.
Violence was on the menu, boys.
It absolutely was. It was so good. Randy Orton completely violently turning on Cody Rhodes, laying Cody Rhodes wide open. And I made a statement to you guys, and I think I made it on Twitter. A lot of people were upset by this because we love Randy. They sing his song. They cheer him to the ring. People were audibly cheering him when he took out Cody Rhodes Friday night. So it's very obvious where people stand with Randy Orton. But, of course, Twitter does what Twitter does, and everybody's, oh, okay, why would they do that? Why would they do that? I think a lot of people forget in kayfabe who Randy Orton is as a character. We got way too comfortable with happy to be there, fun loving, doing his own spin-a-rooney against Trick Williams, bro Randy Orton. We got way too comfortable with that, and people forgot who the F he is. And Randy reminded him quite violently Friday night. Rob, what'd you think?
Yeah, and it was... I was kind of shocked that they went that far. And I'm glad they did, because, you know, I was not looking forward to 5 weeks of, you know, I respect you, brother, you know, promos between the two of them. Because, I mean, if they didn't do something, then that's what we were about to get. And I don't think anybody really wanted that. And, yeah, I know, and yes, I mean, Randy's at a point now where it's going to be really hard to get any people to really boo him. And, but you know, but still, look, the best stories are still good versus evil, okay?
Yep.
And so let him go play evil, and, you know, at this point, the crowd reaction is what it is, all right? But it still, look, to me, it's about good versus evil, still a better story, okay? It's a better story than I respect you, brother. Okay.
It is.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome when evil wins.
But the other thing is, you know, look, I mean, people cheered Roman Reigns most of the time during the old Tribal Chief run. But those few times where, you know, when it was really time to boo him, they did. You know, when they jumped Kevin Owens and then, you know, Sammy didn't want to go along with it and they beat his ass too. I mean, he got booed out of the building. Okay. I mean, when it's time, if you do it right, when it's time, enough people will play along.
Yeah, because people understand fundamentally, again, people pick on WWE fans all the time. WWE fans are probably of all wrestling fans who are disillusioned, we're probably the least disillusioned, and we understand what we're watching fundamentally more than anybody else does. When the time comes, they will boo the shit out of Randy Orton. It'll happen.
And like, I don't want to hear about that anyway, because I especially don't want to hear about that from the people who to this day continue to cheer for Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yeah.
Okay. Please don't tell me about, you know, reacting properly when, you know, and what, well, we're 7 years in now, you're still cheering for Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Okay. Stop it.
Right. So let's do a thing here. While we've still got a few minutes, I'm going to throw out three matches. And I'm going to start with Jason. And I want you to tell me who you want to win, who you think is going to win. Let's start with Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley. First, who do you want to win this one?
Honestly, this is a pick'em for me. If the match is good, if the match is good, I'd like Jade to win. If they just have weird chemistry or whatever and things go sideways, just Rhea win. Let's get out of here. I don't know why I feel that way. I don't want Jade to get a cheap one. I want Jade to get a good one. I don't know. It's odd. Jade loses in the end. Jade loses nothing if she loses, because, you know, you're up against Supergirl basically on the women's side. So if Cody's Superman.
Okay.
So yeah. And then obviously if Jade wins, awesome. Like, you know, great. She's going to continue to be a main event player, force of nature, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Great. I will ask Rob the same question. Who do you think's going to win and who do you want to win?
I want Jade to win, because if she does not win, you're sending a message here to the audience, because, you know, she won the title in November when nothing was going on. She's held the belt the whole time, and she had one challenger, that was Jordan Grace, who, you know, we think Jordan's great, but the main roster audience doesn't really know her that well and doesn't really think that much of her right now. So that really didn't really add anything. And so, and Jade hasn't defended the title on PLE yet. And so if her first match that matters is champion, she loses. And yes, it is. I get it. It's losing to Rhea Ripley, but you know what? I remember for many years where there are people still to this day who say, well, Asuka's buried. Okay. All right. There are people to this day who are still saying that. Okay. So having Jade go out there in her first match that matters as women's champion, she goes out there and she loses. And again, that's also, you know, kind of juxtaposed against the whole conversation about how good she is or is not as a wrestler.
Yeah.
I think you are sending a message. And especially since you already had to lose to Tiffany at SummerSlam. I think that's kind of a thing people want to put two and two together and not just, yeah. Not that she'd be buried or anything like that, but it's just, it kind of suggests that, okay, you know,
The experiment is over.
Or at least there's a ceiling and this is what it is.
Yeah. And that's pretty much my answer. It's Jade stands to lose more by losing than Rhea Ripley would. Rhea Ripley is a force of nature. If she loses this match, there's no harm, no foul. She just goes back to being Rhea Ripley the next night. If Jade Cargill loses this match, it damages her people's perception. It just does. So, one, I want her to win. And two, as a booker, I think they see that. And if they are still invested in Jade as a property beyond wrestling, they need to keep her stock up. So, for all those reasons, I think Jade wins this one. Jason, Cody and Randy, who do you want to win? Who do you think wins?
Randy and Randy, because I think this is the last great run of the villain Viper. So let's all aboard. I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's have an evil, vindictive, you know, take no prisoners, Randy Orton at the top of the show for a while.
Okay. Rob,
and,
what do you think?
I also think Randy's going to win. So.
Okay. All right. Rob, what about you?
Okay, so I've changed my mind on this because I think there's a good chance Randy will win. But now that they've taken it in this direction, I'd like to see him, you know, escalate. And, you know, to me, if Cody pulls it out like on a roll up or something and then Randy just destroys him after that, and then they keep the feud going. Now, look, I do want Randy to beat Cody and win the title. I just think if they play this right, you can stretch this out for a few months, and you can have him win the title in the middle of it. Well, because now Cody has something to fight against as champion. Now he's not just sitting on the belt, right? What he had been doing past few months before he lost to Drew, he was just kind of sitting on the belt. And, you know, when you have a babyface champion, you still have to give them something to fight against. You can't just have them walk out there and be like, hey, everybody, world champion, yay! You know, which is what they had been doing the past few months with him before he lost to Drew. You got to give him something to fight against. He has something to fight against now. So now we don't need that whole, like, we don't need the belt to change hands right here to stay invested now. That's what I think. I think you can, because he just lost it last year at WrestleMania and then he got it back at SummerSlam, right? We don't want to repeat that, right?
Right. I would say we don't do everything. We don't go through all the motions that they went through Friday night with Randy Orton for this to be a one match and done. You know, we're not doing all that for one match. This is absolutely going to carry over. it'll probably culminate at SummerSlam with Cody winning the championship back. Like, Cody wins at Mania. Randy wins it somewhere intermittently about midway between here and SummerSlam, and then the blow-off is at SummerSlam. I think you can do that here.
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely.
So, all right, Jason, one more. The Beast Brock Lesnar, the Ruler Obafemi. Who do you want? Who do you think?
I don't think you get this far with building up Oba. You give him his first big challenge and then he loses. I don't think so. So I both think he's going to win and I hope he wins because I don't see any point in Brock winning.
Okay. Rob?
I do agree with everything Jason said, but I will say that there's some people who just want Brock to lose the rest of the way out until he retires.
I am not one of those, for the record.
You cannot do that. He's got, somewhere along the way, he does have to beat somebody who matters along the way. Because otherwise, if he's got five more matches, if he's just going to lose all of them by the time he gets to the third or fourth match, then what is he?
He's a loser.
Right. And then every match that happens going forward doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, you take the money out of the bag.
So he does, Brock does need to still beat some people.
He can, after Oba.
Yes, afterwards, yes.
After he loses to Oba, I'm like, he'll be fine.
Yeah, but yeah, just, and look, that's just wrestling.
Yeah, have him knock off three more wins afterwards or whatever. Great, great. Yeah, exactly. We're back.
Exactly. And, so I think I'm rooting for Oba to win. I think he should win. But I've seen some people saying that he should squash him. No. This could literally end up being like the best match on the show on the both nights if you do it right.
Yeah, don't, I don't want to squash because it, again, like Rob said, it's very clear Brock likes this kid. So give me that 15 minute match, please.
Yeah, and
are Brock Lesnar giving a shit? Okay, yeah. Sign me up.
To me, when you have something like this, that has the potential to be the best. This has the potential to be the match that everyone is talking about the rest of the year.
Yeah, this is a water cooler match right here.
So when you have that opportunity, you should max out on that. You should make that match everything you possibly can make it.
Yeah, I agree. I want Obafemi to win. I'm 100% bought in on the stock on Obafemi. I could see a scenario where Oba's beating that ass and Brock either like cinches in the Kimura and Oba passes out, doesn't tap out, but passes out. And Brock barely squeaks away with his life. And either they run it back at another show or they both move on. But I personally, I want Obafemi to win this one.
So. I think if Brock does win, I would have him just like do like some like low blow or something. And then,
yeah, and then, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the low blow finishes. Like that's such a cheap, easy way out. Like maybe that's just my perspective on it. I think the low blows to finish a match are so, it's just cheap. It's lazy.
They got to cool it off because they did it in the main event of WrestleMania a year ago.
Yes.
You got to let that one go for like a couple years.
Yeah. Let's put that one on the shelf and put a box over top of it for a little while. So guys, I think we managed to pull a good show out of, we didn't know what we were going to talk about 2 hours ago. No, we did a great job here tonight. I had a lot of fun.
Agreed.
Yes.
So let's go back around the room here, and I will thank my co-host like I always do, Bucky's tag team partner, Jason, sir. Thank you. Thank you. This was fun.
Had a great time as always, boys.
and the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. Rob, sir, thanks again for another great episode. And thank you for spending some time with me on 30 Mindless Minutes again. That episode will be out fairly shortly. Got a couple episodes coming up with Ray Cash. Got a lot of good stuff coming up with that podcast. But Rob, thank you.
And always a pleasure. And look, everybody, if you live in Maryland, it is not safe to be on the road when I'm driving.
Maryland Highway Patrol, please do not pull my friend over, please. Okay, don't do that. I need him here every Thursday. Again, thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Intro music provided royalty-free by Audionautics. That's www.audionautics.com. My go-to for all my podcasting royalty-free music needs.